We Need Bright Ideas Now. That was the title of a panel discussion and screening of Inconvenient Truth, held by the Vancouver Point Grey New Democratic Party at the Ridge Theatre, February 12, 2007. All the speakers are available from www.ecoshock.org.
The first speaker we have this evening is Dr. Philip Austin. Dr. Austin earned his PhD in geophysics from the University of Washington in 1987 and is currently an associate professor in the Department of Earth Ocean Sciences at UBC, where he serves as an associate chair of the Atmospheric Sciences Program. He also spent a year as a National Research Council postdoctorate fellow in the Climate and Radiation branch of NASA Goddard Space Flight Center before coming to UBC. He's a leader of the Cloud Aerosol Feedbacks and Climate Research Network, which is a four-year collaborative project involving researchers from UBC, McGill, the Université du Québec in Montréal, Dalhousie, and Environment Canada. Dr. Austin will be speaking on the climate effects of global warming. Welcome, Dr. Austin.
So could I have the first slide? So competing with the slideshow that's going to be shown tonight is almost impossible. But what I'd like to do is really take my 10 minutes and talk about two issues that I think we're ready to start a discussion on. As Heather mentioned, or Sean mentioned, the debate's been over on why the climate is warming for about 10 years or so now. And for whatever reason, this movie is perhaps a big part of this. The problem really now has tipped, and I think we're looking at the next phase, which is to try and figure out what to do about it. And so before we do that, I think it's worthwhile looking a little bit at the science and asking a couple questions. And the two I want to cover in the 10 minutes that I've got are essentially this idea of dangerous interference, because this is going to be a topic that's going to be in conversations for the next 75 to 100 years, I think, as we try and avoid a warming of 2 degrees. And I just want to say a little bit about where that number comes from and why it would be prudent to try and keep the global temperature to within 10 degrees of what it was, 2 degrees of what it was pre-industrial. And then the second is, I think a lot of people, even if they are now sold on the idea that we actually are causing the warming that's observed, really this is a legitimate question. How can we predict temperatures in the year 2100 when we can't tell you whether it's going to rain next Friday? And so this I think, is going to be a topic also for the next 50 to 100 years as we try and actually make regional forecasts in a changing environment. So for the next several centuries, no matter what we do right now, things are going to be changing, and we can control the throttle. We can certainly change the rate of change, but we're going to be grappling with a world that one decade to the next is a little bit different. And the models are going to be able to tell us some things and not others. And in particular, I'd like to introduce this idea of climate sensitivity, because this is the crucial thing that we need to know working forward in the next 30 years or so. So could I have the next slide? So this is this idea of dangerous interference. And really, to put this in perspective, you need to really look at the last 5 million years of climate. And so what we've got here is a sediment core going from 5.5 million years ago to the present. And you can see that 5 million years ago, it was 2 degrees warmer than it is currently. There was no ice in the Arctic. The Arctic Ocean was open. And there was no ice in Greenland, so that the sea level was 75 meters higher than it is currently. As the orbit of the Earth changed, the sunlight in the northern hemisphere decreased until, at about 3 million years ago, the Arctic froze and the Greenland ice sheet formed very rapidly. And at that point, then, you have this the beginning of the ice ages and this large oscillation between ice sheets that covered all the way down to 35 degrees latitude, and a planet that was about the same temperature as it is currently. So 2 degrees is a significant amount of warming. 2 degrees is the difference between ice-free pole and an ice-free Greenland and the world that we actually know. So if I could then focus on the next slide, which shows the last 500,000 years, and we know we've now moved this back to 650,000 years. This is the center point of Inconvenient Truth, and from a climate scientist's point of view, a huge contribution of this movie is the fact that Al Gore really walks you through this slide. And this is the CO2 record here in green. This is the temperature record in blue. And you don't have to be a climate scientist to, as Al Gore says, to think that these things are connected. And in fact, you can actually use the ice ages to investigate whether your model is working or not. And we can use the ice ages to determine the climate sensitivity. So what we really want to know from the climate models is, if we do double CO2, how much will the surface temperature increase? Will it increase 2 degrees, 3 degrees, 6 degrees? And again, 2 degrees and 3 degrees is the difference between an ice-free pole and a pole that actually has relatively normal sea levels. So if I could have the next slide. So this is the CO2 and the temperature record together. And you can see that they trend almost identically. And again, I don't think you could make this point often enough, which is that this is the present. Here's the last interglacial. This is a sea level that is 4 to 6 meters higher than it is at present. And this is about the same temperature as it is today, actually. And we had 280 parts per million of CO2. At the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Today, we're actually beyond 370. We're at 380. There's probably no way we're going to stop below 450 parts per million. And if we burn coal, there's nothing stopping us really from hitting 1,000 parts per million. And so every time we double CO2, we actually double the problem, because the warming is... every time you double the concentration, you actually double the warming. So again, the take-home point from here is that 2 degrees is really a large amount of warming, and we're going to have to stop the CO2 concentrations before it gets much beyond current levels. And so the question is, how much? And if I could have the next slide. Now, this is from a very recent climate model run. This is the Goddard Institute for Space Sciences, coupled GCM, one of the best. And this addresses my second point, which is if you can't predict the weather for longer than 2 weeks, which you can't, it's impossible, how can you predict the climate in the year 2100? And you can see that climate is different from weather. These are 5 runs of the Goddard model. And it's not, there's no butterfly effect, right? The runs stay together. And that's because climate is fundamentally predictable, because it's forced on these long time scales. So this is 1880, this is 2000, and all 5 of these runs actually do an excellent job of predicting the current or the history of the surface temperature of the planet. So we're at the point now where we actually have capable models, and we can start asking them questions. And on this slide are all the different ways that we actually heat and cool the planet. The line here is the greenhouse warming. These spikes are volcanic eruptions. This is Pinatubo, and this is El Chichon, and this is Krakatoa. And again, each of these can be used to calibrate the model. But an ironic point is that we aren't feeling the full effect of the greenhouse gases that we've actually put into the atmosphere. First of all, because about half the heat has actually gone into the ocean. And we've got a pretty good handle on this now, and it's waiting to come out. So this is idea that even if we were able to magically turn CO2 off tomorrow, you aren't able to actually stop the warming. It'll come out through the oceans. But the other thing is that pollution here is doing an extraordinarily good job of cooling us off. And as we put stack scrubbers in, for example, in the coal-fired power plants, we're going to eliminate this cooling, and then that's going to actually make the greenhouse effect probably twice as bad. So the bottom line is that in this model, if you double CO2, you increase the surface temperature by 3 degrees, and that actually is not good. So that's more than 2 degrees. So my final slide then is this one. So this is from the most recent IPCC report, and here you've got three different scenarios for the future. The red one here is what I call letter rip, which is 15 billion people with sort of economic efficiencies of about today, burning everything they could get their hands on. So that's the red line here. And you can see on this trajectory at 2100, we are well above 4 degrees. So probably we lose the Greenland ice sheet in about 200 years. There is the business as usual, which is right here. But this is a trajectory called B2, a set of economic choices that we can make that actually stabilize the warming below 2 degrees. And so I'm sure the other speakers will talk more about this. I can address the spread of the models here, but my take-home point here is that there is actually a way to stabilize climate at 2 degrees. So if we have the will, then certainly the models indicate that that a solution's possible.
We need bright ideas now. That was the title of a panel discussion and screening of Inconvenient Truth, held by the Vancouver Point Grey New Democratic Party at the Ridge Theater, February 12, 2007. All the speakers are available from www.ecoshock.org.